You can hear me and you're ready. Welcome. Go ahead and begin.
Secretary Roebling, Shayla Larson, the R3 and Relevancy Manager. Oh, shoot, you probably didn't hear any of that. Thank you, Madam Chair, Commissioners, and Secretary Roebling. I'm Shayla Larson, the R3 and Relevancy Manager. Are you all able to hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay, I have a PowerPoint to share here. Okay, so just going to give a little bit of an overview. I'm going to just share with folks some new things that are going on with R3. And then I'm going to go ahead and pass it over to our Education Services Coordinator, Maggie Lindsay, to give you all a little more in-depth update on becoming an outdoors woman. So just some new things that are going on in R3 this fall. There has been a ton of pheasant hunts, dove hunts, and deer hunts. You know, the R3 team located here in Pier alone did an adult-focused pheasant hunt, a dove hunt. I know that there's been a couple other pheasant hunts going on. Kendall DeRucci does a youth deer hunt every year. There's a lot of hunting 101 programs that are going on with a lot of successes there. So education staff have been very busy this fall and have had a really successful season. And number one with that being a collaboration with Pheasants Forever. It's actually tomorrow is when it starts, but it's a woman-focused pheasant hunt. So the ladies will be in Plankington all weekend with GFP staff and Pheasants Forever staff, and we'll be putting on a really encompassing educational event for those gals. Another thing that we are looking into is the IHEA mentorship program. In the past, there was a mentorship program looked at called Powder Hook, but I don't think that program ever really got taken off well. So this is something that leadership and the comms team and myself, this isn't definitive or decided or anything, but we're going to look a little bit further into it. Just to educate and offer some knowledge for you all, you can find this at learntohunt.org. And essentially it's for mentors to sign up as well as mentees. And it's a service designed to pair new and adult hunters with experienced ones who will help them learn the basics and become more confident in the outdoors. This was funded by a multi-state grant, so by federal dollars, which is fantastic. So that's not something that we would have to come out of pocket and try to create a mentorship program on our own. So that is a positive of it. To participate, you do have to meet all the state hunter education and license requirements, which we don't have any hunter ed requirements for adults here in South Dakota. However, a lot of folks do like to take our Hunt Safe class here in South Dakota, so they're able to hunt in other states as well. Another thing we're looking at here is I'm going to begin some stages of creating a fish passport for 2025. So as you can see in the bullet below, the 2024 parks theme is going to be reeling in the memories, where they're going to look at an opportunity for folks to go to different parks and take a photo of themselves fishing at that park or attending that park. So that's really to get folks kind of in the spirit of fishing. So I wanted to take a step back and, after speaking with some colleagues, to hold off on a year for executing the fish passport. Not only so there's a good solid year there of creating a very good program, but we can also take all of the lessons learned from the Reeling in Memories theme and make it even better, and almost a secondary effect from the Reeling in Memories theme. So hopefully there'll be a lot of success there. Another thing we did in this last quarter was release the first ever R3 newsletter. So that was put on by our summer intern, as well as some different staffers wrote articles for it. But one thing that the comms team, Chris Hall especially, put so much work into helping out was this internal onboarding video. So we noticed that, you know, we have seasonals and interns and new staff come in often, and I'm not able to get to every one to train them. I typically just train conservation officers one-on-one. So I thought this would be a great opportunity so supervisors around the state would be able to share with new hires just kind of GFP's mission within R3. Within that video is several different videos of our staff being interviewed, kind of discussing how their job relates to R3, whether they're a fishery staff or private lands biologist, or parks manager, just kind of talking about, you know, how R3 is kind of integrated in everyone's jobs here at Game Fish and Parks, just to kind of create a more clear picture of it besides just assuming it all falls under just education. Another thing that I've been working really heavily with is, of course, South Dakota is holding the MAFWA conference this year, and there will be an R3 meeting and symposium within that conference. So with us being the host, I've been tasked with trying to find sponsors and things, so this could be a really effective social, an event that encompasses giveaways and banners and things like that. So I've been working pretty heavily with folks within MAFWA on this planning team. But we'll just hold questions till the end if you all have any questions for me. But for now, I'm going to go ahead and pass it off to Maggie.
All right. So hopefully, just give me a thumbs up if someone can hear me. Shayla?
Good, Maggie.
All right, good. All right. I'm the Education Services Coordinator, statewide coordinator here in Fort Pierre, and one of my major programs that I coordinate is Becoming an Outdoor Woman. If you're not familiar with Becoming an Outdoor Woman, or BO, it's a program that targets beginner women and giving them a skill-based skills, and it's skill-based, hands-on classes about the outdoors. We hold it once a year. It's usually a three-day event, Friday, Saturday, and then half a Sunday. And we offer four sessions. Most of the classes are usually four-hour sessions. Some of them are pretty involved, so they're one-day classes. We open it up to about 100 participants. We usually have between 80 and 100 ladies participate in this event. There's roughly 35 to 40 instructors. The instructors are staff and volunteers, people with special skill sets. So go ahead and switch it, Shayla. Next slide. The planning committee is where some staff and some volunteers. I coordinate it, but we depend a lot on our committee. You probably recognize some of these faces from around the state. All right, go ahead. Next slide. All right, the way it's laid out is it's a third, a third, a third, meaning a third of the programs are going to be fishing, a third are going to be hunting/shooting, and the third are going to be other. So for the fishing skills, we try to focus on, like I said, actual fishing, as much hands-on as possible. So we offer classes such as fly fishing, kayak fishing, catch it, clean it, cook it, which is one of our all-day classes where they actually catch it, learn to clean it, and then go cook it. Fly tying, which is, as you see these ladies doing in the picture, that's a fun class. Catch and release shore fishing, and also boating basics. Since boating is so much a part of the state of South Dakota, we do some pretty intensive boating basics classes. All right, next slide. For hunting and trapping skills, we always offer archery. We have some wonderful instructors, the Mesenheimer family, and they focus not only on beginners, but they also try to focus our classes on archery, on actually bow hunting. So though they're teaching archery, it's a focus on bow hunting. Shotgun shooting, of course. Trapping, we got some phenomenal trapping instructors, and it's hands-on. They actually go out and set some traps while they're learning how to trap. Rifle shooting, big game processing, where we actually, Sandy from TOC East, last year they taught that class. They'll bring in a deer, and the women actually take the deer from a whole deer to breaking it down and have it packaged and ground in the end. Pretty amazing class. I've had some ladies tell me that was life-changing for them. Wild game cooking. We added that to our cooking classes. It's kind of a, if you can often recruit hunters through their stomach. We've actually done that in the past. Handgun shooting, muzzleloader, which gives them another hunting opportunity, upland bird dogs, and of course deer hunting. Next slide, Sheila. All right, outdoor skills. So we want the outdoor skills, we call that our other. Once again, it needs to be hands-on, and we do everything in our power to try to tie those skills back to where they'll, for instance, use a state park or use one of our facilities like trailer backing, teaches them how to back trailers and back their trailers, their boat trailers. So there are classes like backpacking, outdoor cooking, trailer backing, outdoor photography, birding. Outdoor Hacks is an interesting class that actually ties back to, you know, little tips on how to pack for hunting, how to arrange stuff for fishing. So once again, it's tied back to either hunting or fishing. Injured Outdoors focuses on if you're injured, for instance, in the outdoors, and wilderness survival. Go ahead, Shayla. We always evaluate our programs. We're constantly, we've got kind of a really neat staff here, our education crew. We never stop bouncing ideas off each other and reevaluating our programs. We're forever evaluating our programs. We have written evaluations we give all the ladies, and we often send out surveys just to do a follow-up, because we want to know if our programs are successful. So this is from a survey that we did from the last bow, from year before last. We didn't have results from last bow because it wasn't hunting or fishing season yet. So or hunting season yet. But 16% of our participants were new or last licensed buyers that went on to buy a license this year. So that's a pretty good percentage of recruitment if you think about it. 31 of the participants are already engaged with GFP and purchased a license prior to the event. So a lot of them had already participated in some of the GFP programs or had already purchased a license. And then 47% of participants have a current hunting or fishing license, which is a huge percentage. All right, I think that's the last slide, Sheila. Demographics. I always think it's kind of interesting to see what age groups that we're reaching, because we would love to see our focus be on families, on younger women, just so they could pass it on to the next generation. And then plus it's kind of nice having the older generation there that's passing it on. So this is just kind of our breakdown of what we had this year. 9 were in their 20s, 20 in their 30s, which is interesting, because usually women in their 30s are busy raising families. 11 were in their 40s, 17 were in their 50s, and 18 in their 60s and up. So, so that's the program that we have every year, the Becoming an Outdoor Woman. So, any questions?
Very good. Thank you, Maggie. We'll see if we have any questions for both you or Shayla at this point. Any questions for Maggie or Shayla? I do have a few questions. Maggie, I'll ask you first. Are these the attendees over the years, are they all resident? Do we have folks from other states that come and participate?
We have from all over the place. The majority of by far are residents, but we have a following from Nebraska. We have a following from North Dakota. We had women from Wyoming, and we actually had two come up from Florida this year. BOW is a national program, so a lot of women follow it nationally. So we kind of joke around and call them our BOW groupies. Once in a while, you get some women that are BOW groupies. But the women from Nebraska tell me that they don't have that opportunity in Nebraska. They look at our class listing, and they get pretty excited about it. They get excited the fact that they can learn how to shoot a shotgun or learn how to shoot a rifle. So I'm surprised, and I can't give you a percentage, but yes, we get non-residents and residents.
Maggie, one more for you. What's the cost for somebody to participate?
Okay, this last year we unfortunately had to raise the cost due to a price increase, but it's $200 for them to attend. If they have financial difficulties, we do have a scholarship fund that they can apply for help, and we can help offset that. It's a pretty good deal for the weekend because that includes all their room and board, four classes, and they do end up taking home some goodies in the end.
So. Any questions for Maggie? Commissioner Bartling.
Thank you, Commissioner Bartling. How do you market this, Maggie? What's your best avenue as far as getting women, especially maybe ones who've never used it before or even attempted to come and participate? How do you market to them?
Well, that's a great question because in the past, when I first started working here about 17 years ago, I'd travel around the state and I'd talk about Bo and I'd hear from women, oh, I've never heard of it, I've never heard of it, I've never heard of it. How do I hear about it? So what we've done is we've done a lot of social media. We have two Facebook pages, Becoming an Outdoor Woman, specifically for Becoming an Outdoor Woman. We also put it on the national Facebook page for Bo and their national website. It is an RGFP website. We advertise it there, but we also send out news releases. I used to send flyers to the parks and stuff, but that didn't seem to be getting the word out good enough, but we just do a lot of word of mouth. We usually travel down and go to women's events, such as Women's Try It Day in Sioux Falls, and I'm amazed how many brand new women that are just coming, they're coming to Women's Try It Day because they're curious, they want to learn about these outdoor skills, and then when they find out about Bo, they end up signing up because they're pretty excited about actually getting a whole weekend of learning how to, for instance, shoot a gun or cast a fishing rod, catch a fish. So.
Any follow-ups? Any other questions for Maggie? Shayla, I'm going to come back to you. You talked about MAFWA coming to South Dakota in 2024. Can you just give us a little bit more information when and where that's going to be?
Yes, so that is going to be in January at the Denny Sanford Premier Center. I believe it is the 28th through the 31st. I believe it is. As far as my involvement in it with R3, so typically each year at the MAFWA conference, an R3 symposium and meeting is also a part of that conference. In years past, when they would have a social and things, it would be off-site. But this year, Delaney really wanted to make sure that we were integrating as a part of the conference as a whole, so folks within R3 can, you know, chat more and spend more time with folks in different wildlife areas. So this year, our social will be on site, and it sounds like for an activity, everybody at the conference, sounds like the Sioux Falls hockey team is really close by, so that's going to be an activity that everybody within MAFWA is going to go together. But the role that I play within this is making sure that there's enough funding to put on a successful event, as well as making sure all the signage is there, all the equipment is there, making sure that food and drinks obviously are there. So really just playing kind of a coordinator's position within hosting this year.
Very good. Wow. Any other questions or comments? Very good. Great presentation to both of you. Job well done. A lot of great work happening.